Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
So we're continuing our series called Excess Baggage. You see, Jesus never intended for us to go through life carrying things like fear and shame, people pleasing, toxic thoughts, or constant distraction. And today I want to talk about another weight that can be incredibly heavy on us, and that is the weight of comparison. Comparison is one of those things that almost everybody struggles with, but very few of us talk about it really honestly. We look at someone else and wonder why our life does not look like theirs. We look at their family, their marriage, their career, their home, their gifts, their opportunities, or their progress. I think I shouted too much earlier. We look at all that stuff and their progress through life, and then suddenly, what God has given us somehow no longer feels like it's enough. Nothing has changed in our lives except what we're looking at. 5 minutes earlier, we were content and grateful for what we had. But then we compared it with somebody else. We saw what someone else had, and suddenly our own life starts to feel really small. That is the power of comparison. And it can make a blessed life feel really empty. A gifted person could feel useless, and a meaningful season can feel wasted when we compare it to others. Comparison rarely begins with something that's dramatic, though. It often begins with a glance. You notice someone else. You observe their life, and you start to wonder how you measure up compared to them. And before long, that observation becomes a measurement. And then that measurement becomes a dissatisfaction. And then dissatisfaction begins to steal your peace. And that is one of the reasons why social media can be so damaging if we do not guard our hearts. See, we're constantly being shown the best moments from other people's lives. We often see the celebration, but not the sacrifice. We see the achievement, but not the disappointment. We see the new opportunity that's been given, but not the years of waiting and struggling and striving to get the opportunity. We see the results, but not the process. Then we compare their carefully selected moments, and we start to compare it with our ordinary Tuesday morning. That's what we do. That is never going to be a fair comparison. Remember right back at the start of this series, we talked about carrying a suitcase. You walk into the airport with your suitcase and you place it on those scales and you discover that it's far heavier than you expected. And the strange thing is, well, some of the weight does not even belong to you. Shouldn't have had it in the first place. You don't need it. What's happened? You've packed someone else's expectations and someone else's timeline and your suitcase. You've packed somebody else's definition of success and calling into your suitcase. You've packed in an imaginary version of the life that you think that you should have by now. No wonder the suitcase is heavy and your joy has totally disappeared. Let me tell you, God never asked you to carry somebody else's life. He asked you to be faithful with your own life. Comparison will always tell you that somehow you're behind. Comparison tells you that you're not enough and that God has somehow forgotten you. Let me tell you this morning, none of those things are true. Someone else being blessed or gifted does not mean that God has less available for you. Someone else moving forward or receiving an answer does not mean that God is ignoring you somehow. We need to understand something today. Comparison is not a harmless habit. It affects how we see ourselves. It affects how we see other people. It affects how we see God. And when comparison takes hold, we begin to question his wisdom. We question his timing and whether he really knows what he's doing with our life. Comparison can make us jealous of the person we should celebrate and turn their testimony into a personal attack. It causes us to withdraw or compete or miss what God is doing because we are watching what he's doing in somebody else's life. And let me tell you today, church, there's freedom from this today. don't have to spend your life measuring yourself against everyone around about you and becoming exhausted by their pace. You can travel lighter. You can walk freer. You can live fuller. Freedom begins when we stop asking, how do I compare with them? Freedom begins when we start asking, am I being faithful with what God has given to me? So let's have a look at three things today that can help us let go of that comparison that we all have. Like, we can either be honest about it, we all have it, and we all do it. So let's look at three things about comparison today. First thing is this: comparison steals your joy. Galatians chapter 6, verses 3 through to 5. Paul writes there, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. There's a verse for you. If anyone thinks they are something when they're not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Paul has given us a real simple instruction here, just to examine our own actions. And the focus here is personal faithfulness, not public competition. Paul understood that comparison is a really terrible way to measure our life. There will always be someone who appears to have more experience, greater resources, or a more impressive story. Always. When I was younger and fitter, and represented Scotland for karate, and travelled all around Europe, and went into competitions and all that stuff, like, we won a lot of things, but there was always somebody that could beat you. Always. Always. There was always somebody who was better. Comparison always moves in two directions. When we compare upwards, we start to feel inferior. But when we start comparing downwards, we start to feel superior. And I think both of those directions are really unhealthy. One produces insecurity, the other produces pride, and neither of them produces gratitude. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. See, Paul is warning us against the foolishness of using one another as our measuring standard. Paul describes that kind of comparison as lacking wisdom. Why? Because we never possess all the information. We compare what we know about ourselves with assumptions that we know about other people. We know our own fears, we know our own weaknesses, we know the unanswered prayers that we're carrying, and we know the difficult days that we experience, but we rarely see those things about the person that we're comparing ourselves against. We see their outside while living with our inside. So we see their outside while living with our inside. And that distorted measurement will always leave us feeling really discouraged. Imagine one runner spending the entire race looking sideways. They keep checking the people beside them and adjusting their stride whenever someone else changes pace. They'll just lose their own rhythm and eventually stumble or drift out of their lane. The problem is not their ability. The problem is misplaced focus. Many people are, I believe, spiritually exhausted because they're always trying to run while constantly looking sideways. And God has given them people to love. He's given you people to love. He's given you gifts to use. He's given you opportunities to take. And he's given you a season to steward. But we cannot enjoy any of it because we're always watching someone in another lane. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And notice in those verses that the race is marked out for us. And your race will not look like my race. My race will not look exactly like your race. And the goal is not somehow to outrun each other. The goal is always to remain faithful to Jesus. Comparison steals joy because it makes gratitude almost impossible. See, gratitude always says, thank you, Lord, for what you've placed in my hands. But comparison says, why did you put more in his hand? Gratitude notices grace and it always brings peace. But comparison notices gaps and starts to create pressure. And Saul in the Bible in the Old Testament is such a powerful example of this. I mean, you read 1 Samuel 18 verses 6 through to 9. It's describing the celebration after the battle. And the people celebrated both Saul and David. But Saul became angry. Why? Because David received greater praise than he did. Saul was still the king. He still had position. He still had authority. He still had influence. Nothing had been taken away from him. But another person's celebration made him feel diminished. And comparison turned a potential ally into a perceived enemy in his head. David could have served alongside Paul and strengthened the kingdom, but Saul could not see it that way. Why? Because comparison had poisoned his perspective. And from that moment, Saul began watching David. See, comparison always shifts our attention away from God and it fixes it upon another person. We begin monitoring what they receive, who compliments them, and every opportunity that comes their way. And what happens then? Our joy just starts to slowly disappear. Why? Because our eyes are in the wrong place. Perhaps you were genuinely happy until someone announced their good news. You appreciated your progress until you heard how quickly another person moved forward. And the answer is not pretending that these emotions do not exist. The answer is always bringing them honestly before God. We can tell him that we want to celebrate them, but their blessing has exposed an area where we somehow feel forgotten. You can bring that to God and be honest with that. God is not frightened by our honesty, and he can heal what we reveal to him. And one of the most practical ways to break comparison is to practice gratitude deliberately. Thank God for what he's already done, for the people around you, for your gifts, for answered prayers, and for the grace that has carried you this far. Gratitude does not mean that everything or every desire has been fulfilled. It means that we refuse to overlook today's goodness while waiting for tomorrow's answer. Comparison always asks, why then? But gratitude always asks, what's God entrusted to me? And that change of question can restore your joy. Let me just ask you a probing question today. Are you looking at anybody else in particular and thinking, why have they got what they've got? God, why have I not got that? Have you forgotten me? Are you doing that? Are you doing that? See, what often happens is we look at other people and we think, how did they get there? I want that. It seems to have come easy for them, but we're only comparing the outside. We're not seeing the years of struggle and study and hard work and disappointment to get to there. We just simply think God's just given it to them on a plate, which is totally untrue. And we get ourselves all messed up on the inside because somehow we think that should be me. Like our eyes are not on Jesus, they're focused on somebody else, and we're missing the opportunities that God has for us. So if you're asking the why them question rather than God, what have you entrusted to me question, then I think when we flip it, that change of question can totally restore your joy today. So comparison steals your joy. Secondly, our calling is personal. John 21, verses 20 to 22, Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. Funny how John wrote that, eh? Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? What about him? Jesus answered, if you want to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. See, this is towards the end of John's Gospel, and Jesus is speaking personally to Peter, and after restoring him from failure and reaffirming his purpose. So this is after Peter had denied Jesus three times, and this is Jesus has restored them and reaffirmed them in his position, telling them that he'll build his church upon them. So imagine that, great. Jesus says to you, I'm going to build my church on you. And then suddenly you're looking at somebody else saying, oh, but what about him? Like, Peter is noticing John nearby, and his attention moves away from his own conversation with Jesus and directly towards another disciple. Peter wants to know what will happen to John, but Jesus brings him back to his own responsibility to follow. How often does Jesus speak to us about our obedience only for us to ask about somebody else? Like, how often do we do that when God pinpoints something in us and says to us, Stephen, should you really be doing that? And I'll say, ah, but what about him? He's doing it worse than me. Like, that's what we do. Are we being honest? Or what about when God asks us to serve, but we start wondering why somebody else has received a different opportunity? Do you want to join the welcome team? God's telling you to join the welcome team, and you're looking, thinking, I really want to sing on the platform. How come they're getting it and not me? I'm better than them. God's calling you to the welcome team. Like, let's be honest, that's the kind of thoughts that go through our mind. God asks us to wait or remain faithful in a hidden place, but we're distracted by another person's progress. Who's been there? Like, we're praying and we're praying and we're praying and it's not came yet. But somebody else gets their answer before us. Do we truly celebrate with them? Are we truly grateful that they've got their answer? Or are we just pretending? We're just like, why is that not happening to me? Why them and not me? Is it just me that thinks like that sometimes? Jesus keeps bringing us back to the same personal invitation, just follow me. Just follow me. Why? Because God deals with us all as individuals. He knows our personality, he knows our history, he knows our strengths, he knows the wounds that we carry, and he knows the people that we will reach. And he also knows the preparation we need and the pace at which he is forming us. He is much wiser than us. God does not create people on a production line, but forms every single life with intention. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let me tell you, if you don't feel too good about yourself today, take that verse. You're God's handiwork. You're God's handiwork. And if you're thinking, I'm not very good, you're really saying God made a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. You're perfect. Let me tell you, your calling is not an accident. Your personality is not an inconvenience. And your story is not unusable. God has prepared things for you to do. But comparison can make us abandon them to try and imitate someone else. We copy how they lead. We communicate how they communicate, how they produce fruit without asking whether God has asked us to do the same thing. We see it happening all the time. People try and copy other people. We try and copy people who are somehow famous. If I just be like them, then I'll be famous. But let me tell you, learning from other people is wise. But losing yourself in the process is not God's intention for your life. And in 1 Samuel 17, verses 38 through to 40, we get a brilliant picture of this in action. You see there, it's just before David was going to face Goliath, and we read that Saul dressed David in his own tunic, he put his armor on him, and a bronze helmet on his head, and then David fastened the sword over his tunic and tried walking around, but he couldn't because he was not used to them. And he's saying, I can't go in these, Saul. Why? Because I'm not used to them. This is not me. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, he chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in a pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. He didn't try and copy Saul. He didn't try and think, I must do it. He's the king, so I need to do what he's doing. He just went with his own calling and the gifts that God had given him. I mean, most of us will know the end of the story. David could hardly move in that equipment. It probably looked really impressive, but it just simply did not fit him. See, David could barely move in that equipment. Why? Because it was designed for somebody else. So he took it off. And then David chose the tools that God had trained him to use, and he stepped forward into his own calling. Are you trying to put on somebody else's armor? Or are you stepping forward into the calling that God has for you? Like, I see it constantly. There's people in this church, there's people in this room, and you're trying to carry armor that does not fit you. You're trying to pray, you're trying to lead, you're trying to parent, or you're trying to build your life like somebody else. Thinking, if only I could be like them. And it might look impressive for the outside, but you can't even move freely in it. The important part of the story is that God did not anoint David just to become a smaller version of Saul. God anointed David to become a full version of David. And let me tell you, God has not called you to become a copy of the person you admire the most. He has called you to be the person that he created you to be. And that does not excuse us from growth. Of course, we should learn, we should mature, we should receive correction, we should develop the gifts that God's placed within us. But let me remind you, growth is not about becoming somebody else. Growth is about becoming a healthier, humbler, and more faithful version of who God created you to be. 1 Corinthians 12, it describes the church as one body with many parts. And each part is different, and let me tell you, every single part is needed. The eyes do not compete with the hand, and each part contributes something different. Imagine if every single person in Found Church had the same gift. Like, imagine if all 300 of us in this room, to however many there is today, all were gifted to sing. That was our job. We're just going to come and sing. Nobody would be on Teen Coffee. Nobody would be in Kids Church. Nobody would be in the car park. Nobody would be in the shuttle run. Nobody would be welcome people in. But I just want to sing. I just want to sing. That's what everybody else is doing. Imagine if everybody in the band wanted to play the guitar. Like, because that's what the cool person does. Imagine if everybody in church just wants to be in Kids Church. And nobody's here. It just wouldn't work. The church functions the best when different people bring different gifts together for one purpose. And your difference is not a defect. Just because you're different from somebody else, that is not a defect. It's part of God's perfect design. Some people are visible while others serve quietly. Some people speak to a room while others are brilliant in conversation with another person. Some are pioneers while others bring stability, compassion, generosity, organization, or hospitality. Let me tell you, heaven does not measure significance by visibility. God sees the person who serves without applause. The parent who's faithfully raising children and working, living for Jesus in a difficult environment. Nothing offered to Jesus is wasted, even when nobody notices. And Matthew 6 reminds us that the Father sees what is done in secret. And that truth should release us from performance-based because our obedience matters to God. Perhaps you've been frustrated because your life does not look like the way you imagined it should. Perhaps you thought you'd be further forward by now, or that somebody else received the opportunity that you wanted. Can I just tell you, don't allow that disappointment to pull you out of your own lane. Keep following Jesus, keep serving, keep growing, and doing the last thing that God asked you to do. You don't need to understand somebody else's assignment. You just need to be faithful with your own. Do you know, I was speaking yesterday to another pastor, and quite often some of the negative comments that pastors get is that people just assume that it's just been handed to them on a plate. Sorry for you, you've done this or that, you've got that church, you're leading that church. And they make assumptions. But you don't just wake up in the morning and get handed a church to pastor. Like, it's a process. There's many highs, there's many lows, there's difficulties, there's challenges. People want the public what they see on a Sunday on YouTube, but they don't want the many years of suffering, criticism, hardship, They don't want that. They just want what they see on the platform and they think that's it. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Do what God's calling you to do. Like, if all of us did that and all of us walked forward, encouraging each other, cheering each other on, church would be an amazing place. It is an amazing place, but it would be even more amazing. Like, you don't need to understand somebody else's assignment. You don't need to be jealous of somebody else's suddenly getting an answer to their prayer. You don't need to be jealous of somebody else's gift. Celebrate it. Encourage them. Keep trusting God for your breakthrough, for your gifts to come to fruition, and for you to play your part together. Why? Because your calling is personal. We're all unique. All unique. So comparison steals our joy. Our calling is personal, and as I just said a minute ago, thirdly, God's plan is unique for each person. Now let me unpack that a little bit. God's plan is unique for each person. Psalm 37 verses 4 to 5 says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust him, and he will do this." See, these verses are calling us to delight ourselves in the Lord, to commit our way to him and trust him. And that order matters. That order is really important. Our confidence is not built upon receiving somebody else's life, but upon knowing the character of God. Delighting in him brings our desires into his presence. So delighting him first, then committing our way releases control from us and gives it straight back to God. And then trusting him stops us treating delay as proof that somehow he's forgotten about us. So we need to be delighting ourselves in him, then committing our ways to him, and then trusting him. God's plan for your life is unique, which sounds encouraging until somehow it's different from the one that you imagined in your mind. See, we enjoy the idea of that unique calling, but we struggle more with a unique process. We want the promise. We want the answer. We want the platform, but we don't always want the preparation. Let me tell you, nothing is wasted in God's hand. Think about a garden. Different plants grow at different speeds. Some appear well early, while others take much longer. Some produce colour, while others produce fruit. And no sensible gardener demands that a rose produces apples or that a seed becomes a tree in a week. The gardener understands that what was planted, the soil, the season, and the unseen process that happens underground. And God understands that what he planted in you and which roots must grow before you can carry future fruit. Comparison will make us dig up the seeds. Why? Because it's not grown quickly enough. It's not grown as quickly as somebody else's. But trust allows God to complete that process within us. So if we're comparing our life to somebody else, that seed that God's planted within you, we start to dig it up. Because we're somehow it's not moving as fast as the other person. But they're different seeds, doing different things. And Ecclesiastes 3:11 reminds us that he has made everything beautiful in its time. And that can be difficult for us to understand or accept. Why? Because we live in a culture of instant results. We can send a message in seconds. We can order something today and expect it tomorrow, and sometimes even expect it this afternoon. That expectation, though, can drift into our spiritual lives. We pray today and we expect an answer tomorrow. We take one step forward and suddenly we expect every single door to open. Let me tell you, God is not slow, but God is always thorough, often doing more in that waiting time than we actually realize. See, Joseph received dreams when he was young, but Genesis 37 through to 50 shows that fulfillment came after betrayal, slavery, false accusations, prison, responsibility, and then eventually promotion. If Joseph had compared his life with the people around him, he could have easily concluded that God's plan had somehow failed. His brothers appeared free while he was enslaved, and the people that he helped move forward were free while he remained in prison. But God had not lost Joseph. He was just preparing him for the task that lay ahead. The prison was not the end, and the delay was not a denial. The hidden years that Joseph had formed the character required for the visible assignment that lay ahead. Let me tell you, and let me remind you today, that your current chapter that you're in is not the whole story. Another person's celebration does not mean that your moment will never come. And your waiting time does not mean that God is somehow inactive in your life. Let me tell you, God is still working. I mentioned earlier Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Not all things are good, but God can work through all things. He can use success or disappointment, open or closed doors, visible seasons and unnoticed ones. God's plan is not fragile. It's not threatened by another person's progress or destroyed by a difficult chapter in our life. Your responsibility is not to control the story, but to trust the author. And one of the clearest signs that comparison is losing its hold is our ability to celebrate others. See, when I celebrate what God has done for you, I'm declaring that I trust him with me and that your blessing is not my loss. That's the thinking we get. Gordon's blessing somehow is a loss to me. I'm losing out because he's been blessed. That's not how it works. But that's what we think in our head. Romans 12:15 calls us to celebrate people in their joyful seasons. And that can be spiritual warfare because the enemy wants another person's joy to become our misery. God teaches us to turn their testimony, though, into fuel for our own faith. Hey, if God can do it for Gordon, he can do it for me too. Like, rather than me mumping and moaning, oh, it's no fair, Gordon's got it, I've not. Change your thinking. If he can do it for Gordon, he can do it for me. And I'm trusting on that. Secure people can clap when someone else wins. Promote others and pray for their success without somehow being feeling threatened in their own life. Our security is not found in being ahead, but in belonging to Jesus. Psalm 139 reminds us that God formed us, saw us, and knew our days. Let me tell you, you are not an afterthought. God did not make a mistake when he made you or give everyone else a purpose and leave you with whatever remained. That is not true. You are known, you're loved, you're called, and you're still being formed. You have something to carry, but it's not the weight of comparison. You carry God's presence. You carry the good news of Jesus. You carry gifts that strengthen his church. And you carry an assignment that requires your obedience. And that applies to each and every single person in this room, to those watching online, individually. You carry God's presence. You carry the good news of Jesus. You carry gifts that can strengthen his church. And you carry an assignment that requires your obedience today, every single person. No one is left behind. No one is excluded. So can I encourage you today to start letting go of the life that you think somehow you should be receiving? And can I encourage you to receive the grace to live the life that God has placed right in front of you? And the band and the prayer team can come. As we start to get to the end of this message, let me ask you a really personal question, and I want you to be honest with yourself as you answer this question in your mind. Let me ask you, whose life have you been trying to carry? Perhaps you've been carrying somebody else's timeline. Maybe you thought by now you'd be married, raising children, or further forward in your career somehow. You thought the prayer would have been answered by now, or the ministry opportunity would have arrived by now. You thought that life would look a little bit different at this stage. Perhaps you've been carrying their image. You've spent years believing you need to look and sound, lead, or live like somebody else. Or perhaps you've been carrying somebody else's success. You've watched their progress so closely that you cannot recognize progress in your own life, because you're so intent and focused on somebody else. And then what happens is their good news starts to make you feel overlooked. Perhaps comparison has begun affecting your relationships. Jealousy has entered your heart and you've become critical of someone you once celebrated. Or if you're married and you're looking at somebody else's marriage on social media and you're thinking, why is my marriage not like them? Let me tell you, nobody posts a video of their arguments on social media. Nobody. And if you're married and you're sitting there or watching online saying, we never disagree, I would say you're lying. Like, nobody posts that stuff on social media. Nobody posts. Some people will put it in the comments after the really nice family picture. They'll put a wee note saying, it took ages to get this picture because the children were being wild. Nobody posts a picture of the kids being wild. They post the nice framed picture. And somehow we start comparing our wild moments with their polished picture. And we start comparing. Why is my marriage not like them? Oh, look, they always go for a date night on a Friday night. Oh, it looks so lovely. The holy Friday afternoon, they were shouting at each other. And they're actually going on a date night to try and repair it. But we just see the nice, shiny thing there looking so wonderful. I wish my marriage was like theirs. That's what happens. That's what happens. Elizabeth and I went for a date night on Friday, but we weren't arguing on Friday afternoon. Maybe you've kept your distance from somebody because the blessings that they're receiving is exposing the disappointment you feel in your life. And you're comparing. Why is it happening for them? Why is it not happening for me? And rather than celebrating them, you're just getting jealous. And resentment's building up within you. Maybe that's you. And I think the Holy Spirit reveals these things to us, not to shame us or to make us feel guilty, but to free us. To free us from that burden that we're carrying. Let me remind you that Jesus carried everything required for your freedom at the cross. So you don't need to leave with the same weight today that you walked in with. You can lay that comparison down. Release that envy that you've been carrying. You can surrender the pressure to somehow keep up with the next door neighbor, somehow keep up with the people on social media. You can stop measuring your life against people God had never asked you to copy in the first place. You can receive fresh joy. You can receive gratitude. You can trust God with your calling and your timing today.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.